candle of my hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, Johan Schoeman started with saying that we need to seek first the kingdom of God. And then quickly wrapping up this faith series, what do you think would be the ideal thing to look at lastly before we step down from faith? Where should we turn our eyes? Where should we turn our eyes? Naar die berge? Broer? Yes. Dit was my intercessie. Yes, to Jesus. Absolutely. I said their eyes on the prize. We're gonna quickly tag team with what we ended off last week. Peter was on the water. He struggled. And the moment of struggling came in exactly there, where he took his eyes off Christ. Lord, if you, Peter answered him, if it is you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Today is a very simple message, I believe, but it's very profound in the fact that we need to be reminded of that daily. Guys, where is your eyes? Where are you going to put your eyes? What are you going to put your eyes on? We said there's two places, fear and faith. Two parts, two evidences that's being held in front of you daily in everything, almost everything you do and make a decision about. There's two guys. There's the accuser, and there's Christ, the truth. Evidence being held up to you to make informed decisions. Where is your eyes going to be? Now, firstly, let's quickly stop. Where is your eyes not supposed to be? We want to grow in faith. We want to be people full of faith. Lastly, we're going to say to each other, where should my eyes not be? Things of the world, myself, anybody else, anything else. Where should my eyes not be? On Willem, yes, maybe that's a good idea. He is a bit of a stunner, but jy mag maar van kyk so nou en dan, maar yes, your eyes should not be on human, on the flesh. Good point. We laugh, but it's very true. Anything else, anybody, circumstances, where should my eyes not be? I want to grow in faith, godly Christian faith. Where should my eyes not be? On the facts. That is very true. That is very true. I've heard it once that said, and it just reminds me of it. I think it was Curry Blake saying that he's got a piece of soap. It's soap, it's a fact. And then a file, a Easter file. What is a steel file? It just sounds a bit weird. Easter file. I'll explain to the rest this deep spiritual thing later. But you've got a fact in the fact that this is a piece of soap, but you take the truth being this file. And if you apply the file to the soap, it just changes the fact, changes the soap. And likewise, sometimes you sit with either a sickness or a financial difficulty or a problem child or whatever the case may be. You sit with this soap, you sit with this fact, but yet the truth of Christ is just deeper, more profound and harder, and it changes. Changes when applied. Very simple picture, but it really spoke to me because I remember it for 10 years. Hopefully you will as well. So yes, facts is a place where we should not keep our eyes. Where else should we not keep our eyes today? On the watch. Okay, there's a grappie nie by snorks, so apparently we have to look at the watch. Where else should we not be looking? Money. Chris, money. Our feelings, yes. Coming from a lady, we do respect that opinion highly. Highly, I tell you. And I'll say amen to that, sister. No, but I'm for a guy, I'm probably a bit of a feminine side there and being in touch with my feelings, so I need to be careful of that one as well. I just quickly need to cover my bases here. I'm going home with a lady. Anything else? Anything lastly? That television, media, definitely. Media 24, yes. The fear, factor of fear, definitely. We should not keep our eyes on that which brings forth fear, except the fear of the Lord. I just quickly put three things down there. Natural, the natural alone. What I mean with the natural is the winds and the waves. Don't look at that alone. Christ is busy standing on the natural. You might be fearing the natural. He's standing in there saying, what are you freaking out about? The lies of the enemy. Who's ever had a lie over their identity? You're not good enough. You're not making the mark. Lies about your personality and lies about your physical appearance. The lies of the enemy. And then lastly, I believe, and this is where we're going to hover today. Lastly, speaking about faith. Guys, a place where your eyes should not or rarely be when you want to truly grow in faith with Christ is yourself. What does a religious spirit do? It loves to put all of the attention on you. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Am I doing this? Am I jumping the hoops? Am I crossing the T's? Am I dotting the I's? And yes, I might have struggled with this now and again. But we are a work in progress. I believe that at the end of this series, I just want to make one thing clear, and I believe it is of the Lord, is that we need not walk out of here thinking that, oh man, we need to be people full of faith, and it's going to be hard work. What am I needing to perform to be somebody that's full of faith? We'll get to the irony of that statement just now. So the bottom line is, do not look at yourself. Three things I just quickly mentioned there. Religious works. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were quite aware of what they do right and what they do wrong in their own esteem. And the problem of that thing is that sometimes that comes with a bit of a false humility. You actually are comparing constantly, am I doing it right, am I not? Am I moving in faith, am I growing in faith? And as you do that, as soon as somebody gives you a compliment, you'll probably say, ach, nee, broer, oh no, not at all. But meanwhile, back at the front, you're actually really very aware of where you are with God or where you're not. And something we need to be so careful of. And everybody can step into that hole every single day. It is this constant tug of war in our hearts. But what sometimes happens is that it's a false humility, but it's actually a spiritual pride of, I've come to this area. I've got the faith of Angus Buchan, or I've got such and such a big faith. As soon as you start putting the focus on yourself or where you're at and where you're not, be careful. It also comes along with something I wrote here, is that you're constantly going to compare yourself with others. So if you want to know if your eyes are on yourself and not where it should be, just look out for those factors. Being very self-aware, constantly trying to measure yourself. I had the moment the other day, I can't remember, luckily for you, or luckily for me, I can't remember what it was, but I just was struggling with God about something, and I was so deeply intrigued, but I was saddened by it, and I was like, Lord, why is this happening? And He just clearly said to me, who made you the judge of yourself? And at first, well, firstly, whew, the false lust, the burden comes from my shoulders in that moment. But I just realized that I was actually just busy with the self-righteous exercise in wanting to sort something out myself and do it right so that I can come with my dead works before God. And He says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. So don't even be the judge of yourself. And even more so, don't be the judge of others. As soon as you see you constantly comparing others, trying to see where they measure up, be careful of this. You've not been made their judge either. God will, and we'll see it now, God will move us and grow us in faith. Said there, the flesh and self-righteousness, it all comes together. Now, faith building and being a people full of faith, I said there is not, I believe it's not a slog. It's a surrender. It's not striving, it is yielding. And lastly, it is not I, but it is us. Not us, firstly, you and the Lord. We're going to get to that now. So after how many weeks of discussing faith and saying, are you a person full of faith? The last thing that I want you to walk out here with is a false burden. Also, I don't want you to walk out of here being all blasé about it, because I believe it's a place that we can truly grow in faith. But it's not something that you do alone. It's not something that is completely reliant just upon you, yourself. It's not God coming to AB and say, AB, Jeff, is jy vol geloof? Volgende. Moving on. It's not the way in which he does it. He's the one that calls you into a relationship, and then he's one that will help you. We'll see that in Scripture beautifully now. And I believe that's a place where we need to take this all together, making sure that, yes, we do grow in faith, yes, we're full of faith, but it is not reluctant upon our own self-righteousness. If we walk out of faith, walk out of this faith series with the idea that it is all upon my shoulders to grow in faith, then our understanding is influenced by a religious lie. So that is just what I want to make sure. The sneaky irony here is that sometimes I said, you start off with a great expectation and you start off in your bedoeling is so mooi. Lord, I want to be full of faith. I want to be so full of faith. And then your focus just changed to where you try to sort yourself out and bring yourself before the Lord. You try to make yourself strong in faith and bring it before the Lord. Our faith should not be based in our faith. Our faith should be based in God. It might sound very simple, but guys, it's a very small thing. And if it sneaks in there, it brings forth pride. And it's going to bring a fruit that goes far away from true faith, true biblical faith. My faith is not in how great my faith is. My faith is not in the amount I trust God. No, it is just in God. Poof. If I try to measure my faith versus Annalise's faith, it's like, this is my nivel Lucy. I love just checking how far I've jogged. Just shows how I struggle with this thing. I'm probably preaching at myself this morning. And so I just love every single meter extra is great. So I just love doing that. But if I do that in our relationship between me and Annalise, saying, well, where's your faith? Where's mine? I'm totally missing it. Let's just turn our focus. Let's make sure, walking out of the series, that our focus stay pure. Our focus is sure. The irony is, our faith is not in our own faith, but it is in God, and it will grow. Galatians 6:8 says to us the following. Guys, when we want to grow in faith, we look not to ourselves, we look not to the flesh or the circumstances alone, we look to Christ. And we want to sow the things of the Spirit to reap the things of the Spirit, as Mian said this morning. For the one who sows to his flesh, his own flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. The rest is not important for this morning. The bottom line is that when we want to grow in faith, keep your focus right. Keep your focus right. Be careful to be self-righteous. Be careful to keep your eyes on yourself. Will you guys remember that? Cool. Then we can move to the last part, the pinnacle of this whole series, and that is Christ Jesus. We can just go back to Christ Jesus. We can just go and relax to a certain degree in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11 is all about the legends of faith. It's an amazing piece of scripture, but just after Hebrews 11, who knows the Bible? What is just after Hebrews 11? Who knows the Bible? Hebrews 12. Yeah, well done, guy. That's a joke. Anyway, just after Hebrews 11 comes Hebrews 12, and it's not very prophetic. Anyway, but here it is. I so love this, and I believe, if anything, this should bring it all together. Because he is the one that brings all together. Don't forget anything about the series, but do remember this. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's read. A call to endurance. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. The source and the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. The King James Version talks about Hebrews 12:2 saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Say, author. Thank you, Edna. Jy het al paar jaar meer training gehad. Say author and finisher of my faith. Dankie Jesus. Amen. The author and the finisher of my faith. The author and the finisher of my faith. Don't let it be mere words that we're meandering about this morning, but may it be something that just strikes your heart, that Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith, in what? Our pursuit to a place of being people full of faith and the Holy Spirit. What is an author? An author is a chief leader, captain, or prince. So he's the author, he's the captain of my faith, he's the prince of my faith. Holman says, the source, the wellspring. We're going to even quickly have a look at the Amplified. But he is the source of my faith. He is where my faith originates from. And then the finisher, well, that goes without saying, the consummator or the finisher. We'll come back to that just now. Does this mean I'm just going to chillax, relax about it all, and not do a thing concerning my faith? Or am I also going to have an active role in this process? If he's the author and the finisher, we'll see in Scripture now the beginning and the end, what do I have to do? Luckily, Hebrews 12, the one after Hebrews 11, helps us in that. You can go back to the previous slide, please. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. So, there's one thing to do. What should I do? Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares me. So if the Holy Spirit convicts me, again with the help of Christ, lay down sin. It doesn't call us to a place. That's unfortunately where the prosperity gospel, in the negative sense of the word, comes in, where it says just grace, 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 God, just everything, the whole, in fact, the whole universe just surrounds, in everything around, just evolves around you. And it's not actually. No, it evolves actually around Christ, and you just playing a big part in it if you're lucky. So there's a place where you lay aside your sins. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Are we chillaxing? Are we sitting down? Even if he is the author and the finisher? No, we're still running. Who likes running? Great. In faith. Amen. So there's two things already. You're not going to do nothing. You're not going to be passive. You're not going to be a mere spectator in this process. Even though the focus is not on you, the responsibility is not yours and yours alone. The focus needs to be on him and not on yourself. You partake by not sinning and running. Let's run a little loop. Keep our eyes on Jesus. So you actively keep your eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross. So Jesus was actually there, the example to us. He laid down his life. He lost his life. Like some of us came forward this morning and say, Lord, whatever I've tried to keep or even upkeep, I lose this morning. Jesus, in finishing his race, went to a place of absolute death to bring forth absolute life. We can't go into the depth of that. Important things to remember is that I do have an active role to play. It's like my children. Is there a big responsibility on my shoulders to bring up my children? Can everybody say yes? Is it only my responsibility? No, it's Edna's as well. But say for her, I can tell my children, hey, give me a kos op eet, jong. Nee, kom in, dis koud buite. I've done that. I've done my part. But there's a part where they then eat their kos, where they finish up their meal, or they come inside when it's cold. And it's likewise with Christ. It's a very simple picture. He's the author and the finisher. The focus is on him. I'm going to learn from him. He's going to help. I don't have that luxury with my children. But he's actually supernaturally going to empower me as well. I can't just go boom and they all sort it out. Now, he can help us with that. But I need to say, yes, Lord. Ja, Here. Okay. Ek luister. Ek kom en ek eet my kos. So there's a place, and it's very simply like with our children. Let's quickly run through the Amplified version of this. I just love how they say it. Thank you. Just another one. There you go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract us, looking away from all that will distract us, that's our part to play, not too much to do there, and focusing our eyes on Jesus. Very easy, just remember, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter. It begins with him, it ends with him. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. The first incentive for our belief, in other words, to start the source, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. Love that. If there's anything from the Amplified that you want to remember, that is it. Jesus is the one that will bring my faith to maturity. Who wants to be a people full of faith? When he is the one, the author and the finisher, that's going to bring our faith as we walk with him, as we say, yes, Lord, as we high five and as we walk this road together, as we sometimes suffer and he takes us to a cross of our own, he'll take us to a place where our faith comes to maturity. It's a focus shift. We see it in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Remember this on Monday. Remember this on Tuesday. Remember this on Wednesday. And the rest of the week. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've got little time, but in our just in our time in Malmesbury, especially, it was so difficult to, how do you work out your faith? We're in a culture where you constantly need to perform. If you've been busy through during the day, never mind what, you just feel better in the evening. But when you're sitting, waiting, trusting God, you're not doing much physically. I had a big problem with that. Sorry, Steve, okay. That was really not on purpose. But I really had a big struggle with that. But the focus was very much upon myself. And in that case, for me, was fear of man. What would other people say? He's not in his 30s and he's mostly at home waiting on the Lord. What's that? That's weird, especially in Malmesbury. But then this scripture really helped me. You can go to the next slide. The next one. Really, this one. Thank you. And this really helped me. I so desperately wanted to work. Because if I work, I feel better. Slave mentality. Not a son. It's a slave. If I work, I feel better. Get a bit of money if I'm lucky, but I feel better. I sleep more sound if I'm working and I can tell people I've been doing something. I just feel better. Slave mentality. But God had to break that so that I can be a son. The focus needed to be him, Christ, and not me. And so this verse just helped me. What is the work of God? What is the work of God? Jesus answers, this is the work of God, that you believe, adhere to, trust, and rely on and have faith in the one whom he has sent. Who is the one that God sent? Jesus. The Holman says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. What is God's work? Salvation, saving people, doing things, sweeping the floor, baking cake, making sure there's milk, backing the chairs, preaching, going around, visiting you guys. Is that the work of God? Firstly and foremost? No, the work of God is to believe in Jesus. That's where it all starts. If I don't have that right, the rest is not going to, it's going to be ill-balanced. It's not going to have balance to it. If Jesus is not the author and the finisher of my faith, there is no area in your life that cannot be and are not touched by Jesus Christ and having faith in him and his revelation. I'm speaking about the word now, the Logos. There's no area in your life where you can just move him to the side. Our work as Christians is this, to believe in the Son whom he has sent. And the Son is not just, oh yes, he's the Son of God. This is the Son of God. The revelation of God to us as man is the Son of God. The Logos is the Son of God. We can go very deep into that, I guess, but we don't have time. But yeah, this really helped me. But it also throws us in our culture where we've got certain ideas. Let's quickly say to each other, practically, as we end off, how am I going to keep my focus right? How am I going to look to the author and the finisher of my faith? How am I going to keep my eyes on Christ? How am I going to do that, guys? Take it off under other things. You're going to pray, yes. Spending time with Him, yes. Sorry? The Bible, definitely, yes. Let's start off with the Bible. It's a good place to start. Practically, how are we going to keep our eyes on Him? The Word of God, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Word there with a capital letter that it refers to Jesus. And the Word was God. Speaking about the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's really profound. Christ was there at the beginning. He wasn't a little baby 2,000 years back alone. He was there at the beginning of time already. He was the Word. Go read 1 John 1. It's beautiful. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So firstly, we spend time with the Word of God. How do we keep our eyes on Christ? The Word of God. Secondly, how do we believe? How do we grow in faith, and how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? I believe we do it by believing what He said. Guys, it might not sound like rocket science, but if you actually take this and apply it to everyday life, it changes everything. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So if your eyes to be on Him, you need to hear what He says, His word, both Logos and Rhema. And then when He rhema something to you, then you need to adhere to it. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That is a good promise. Try to keep on to that one. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Moving on. We said two things. How we keep our eyes on Jesus. The Word. We listen what He say. Third thing. We obey His commandments. We believe what He says. Sorry, secondly. And thirdly, we obey His commandments. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. What an awesome promise. Maar ek voel die Here nie. Nee, gits, ek het hom nog nooit gevoel. Ek sien hom nie. Waarvan praat jy? My vriend, if you put your eyes on Jesus, if you read His word, if you spend time with Him, and then you do what His word commands you to do, guess what? He will also manifest Himself too. And He usually manifests Himself with childlike hearts. With those that say, Here, ek verloor my lewe. He just loves manifesting Himself by catching them and walking with them, shepherding them, whispering to them. While the world is going on crazy, He just whispers. He says, follow me. Follow me into eternity. And He does that. But it's our choice. He will manifest Himself. Thank you, Jesus. Looking to Jesus. We said the word, believing what He said, that it's actually true, obeying His word. And then lastly, it's not on there, but I just believe it's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday thing. It's not a, oh, gits, wat gaan my lewe aan? I need to turn to God thing alone. It's a daily thing. Our eyes needs to be on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, daily. Daily. Guys, again, I cannot overstate this. I believe that there's every single moment of your day, not in a religious manner, you can turn your eyes to Christ and you can look onto Him. Just to put a bit of an exclamation mark to the fact that the burden is not on me alone, but it's primarily that of Christ, the one that started it and will complete it in my life. Just to put an exclamation mark to that. He is the author and the finisher, the source and the perfecter of my faith. Who believes that? That what you've started in your life, you will complete. Now, where else do we see that of Christ? What does the word say about who Christ is? Right?
The Alpha and the Omega. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end.
I hope that this freaks you out like it does for me. You can go to the next slide. Thank you, Annelies.
He's the Alpha and the Omega.
You find him in Genesis. You find him in Revelation. Humanity. He is humanity's Alpha and Omega. He is humanity's author and finisher. But he's also Johann's Alpha and Omega. Wat is die dag wat jy gered geraak het? More or less year, date. 17, about 17 years. But there how his faith started, even before then he was working, Jesus was walking. He was the author. He was the source. And in eternity he will be the perfecter, the finisher of Johann's faith. And so also for humanity, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The beginning and the end. It's a good one to keep your eyes on. It's a good source to look at. The one that says, I am the beginning and the end. And in the Greek, obviously the Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet and the Omega is the last. And when a rabbi referred to that being the Alpha and the Omega, they said that it's the first and the last and it's everything in between. God said, what about himself? I am. Kind of explains it. It's the first and the last and everything in between. It's just, I guess, I am. And here Christ just re-echoes that because he's part of the Trinity. It just freaks me out. It's just amazing. I'll try to keep myself and not freak you out. Revelation 1:8, as we're finishing off. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. And then lastly, it's three times in Revelation saying this. There's places in the Old Testament, by the way, where you can find that as well, but we don't have time. And then lastly, Revelation 21 verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give the spring of water. Sorry, I have read that. It just beautifully put how, in a micro scale, for each one of us, saying yes to him, partnering with us, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then on a macro scale, to all humanity, he is the one that upholds everything. He was there at the beginning. He's bigger than our time, and he will be there then. He is the one that sustains and holds us up. He is the Alpha and the Omega of humanity. He is, I believe, the author and the finisher of those who says yes, of humanity, of their faith. And I believe that is amazing. Can I ask just maybe two gentlemen to grab their communion for me and just two to three, just quickly distribute here amongst the people as we're finishing off. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember this, just listen up. As you grab, just listen up. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. God has assigned to all of us, to this church, a measure of faith. I'm thankful for the measure that it's given us. We want to be like Stephen, ones that walk in the fullness of the measure of faith that God's given us. Where, guys, do we look to? To the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end. It's quite easy as we surrender, as we give it to him. We give it to the one who will bring our faith to maturity. And then if somebody can just bless the mothers in the mother's room, or the fathers in the mother's room, with the fathers in the father's room, with the elements as well. I'll appreciate that.
niemand met die brood of die sap oorgeslaan nie. Sorry Willem, you kind of noticed that one. Prys die Here vir ons kultuur ook.
Just before we're going to share this, Hebrews 12, and may God empower us this morning to be those that are able to endure and run the race. Therefore, since we all also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Lord, help us. Let us run. And I want to pray this over us, over all of us and our church community. Let us run with endurance, guys. Let us run the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, this morning, we're thankful for this moment. As those in the mother's womb grab hold of you, Jesus, we just say thank you that what you've started in all of our lives, you will complete. By your grace, you will complete what you've started. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, that we could share so much of you this last couple of months, Lord. But I pray, Jesus, that you will complete and bring to maturity the faith of each and every person, each and every child in our church community. That is the prayer out of my heart, and I'm putting my faith out for that. I say thank you. Thank you that you forgive us our sins, and thank you that today we can share in your suffering by taking this bread and this wine, Lord. Thank you that we can just symbolically say that we are putting our eyes completely and wholeheartedly on you. Have your way, and thank you that you bring our faith to maturity in Jesus' name. You guys can take the bread and juice at your leisure. If you're done taking, you can just stand with me. I just believe there's two things we need to pray for. So you can just stand, if you don't mind. Thank you. Jesus, as we share in the communion, the breaking of bread, this morning we thank you that we just turn our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and Omega of humanity, the Alpha and Omega of us all, the Alpha and Omega of each and every family represented in this church, each and every person here, but also to this church community. We turn our eyes to you. Christ, we pray that you'll lead us and help us to do this daily. To daily look to the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you will walk us through it, and that what you've started, you will complete. Yeah, I just thank you, God, that I just sense that some of us need to come and just give our faith to you. Give our walk afresh to you. I believe maybe there's one or two of us that struggle to believe that he'll be the finisher of my faith. That he will bring forth the story to completion. And if you this morning just want to rededicate and just give your faith, give your life again to the author and the finisher, so that he can finish it in due season, because you might have just taken it up upon yourself or in your own hands, but you want to give it to him this morning, just raise your hand and we're just going to pray for you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for these hands and thank you that in agreement we just come with them, that we just say that we give their story, we give their walk just back into your hands. Thank you that you will finish what you've started in their lives. From the moment of salvation up until the day that they go into eternity to live with you, we thank you that you will complete what you've started in their lives. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, this lastly, that we just commit our walks with you, that with the end, we'll walk to the end. With the end, we'll run to the end. If you just want to give your faith life race of endurance, just want to recommit it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to complete this race. I want to complete my race of faith with you. I put my eyes on you. Lead me, help me, and anoint me to endure. I'm just going to pray for empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Very simply, we put our eyes on you and we just say, you are the beginning and the end, and with the end, we will go to the end. With the end, we will go to the end. With the Alpha and Omega, we will finish our race by faith in Jesus' name. We thank you for a fresh empowerment where necessary. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help. And thank you, Jesus, that you will lead us all the way in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Plead your blood over us. In Jesus' name, amen.